Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And this is part two of the message, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Heavenly Father, please speak to the people today. Please, by the Holy Spirit, touch the heart, convict the heart. Lord, we need you today. We in the church, in the body of Christ, we need you today, perhaps more than ever in the history of the United States of America. It's a dangerous time, and we need your guidance. We need your help, and Lord, we look to you, and we praise you, Father, and we give Jesus Christ the glory. And in that wonderful name we pray, amen. Before I began to preach last week, I said that I would give more commentary than I normally give. I said that I would talk about controversial subjects, and I didn't quite get to what I was going to say, but I'll give the warning again. I'm going to talk about Black Lives Matter. I'm going to talk about Kamala Harris. I'm going to talk about defund the police. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. I'm going to preach the Word of God, but I'm going to mention these topics. And if that's not what you want to hear, then I'll see you next week, I guess. But I know that God is speaking to us today. And again, as I prayed the second time last week, I'm going to pray again. God, please help us today to understand what your word is saying to us in these last days. And I want to apologize. I'm a bit congested. If my voice sounds funny, well, I told you about it. But to review, and a review is necessary in this case. I normally pick up where I was last week, but I need to review what we talked about very quickly. We looked at King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. And we said he started to reign as king when he was 8 years old. And he was on the throne for 31 years. But 18 years into his reign, again as king of Judah, he had some busy work for the priests and the people that worked in the temple. He said, "Go and count the money that's in the temple, whatever the people have been bringing in for years or however long it was, go count it." And they did that. The priests did what the king said, but they stumbled upon a copy of the Bible. And again, it wasn't the Old and New Testaments. It was mainly just the five books of Moses. But that's an incredible thing that however long it was before Josiah began to reign. But they started counting in this story 18 years after he sat on the throne. That in 18 years in the temple, in the church of that day, nobody had a Bible. They had church every week. In fact, they had church twice a day, every day, the morning and the evening sacrifices. They had all of this activity for 18 years without a Bible. But they found the Bible, again, the Pentateuch, the five books, I suppose, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They began to read it and realized, oh no, this is the book. I mean, we heard about it, but we've actually got a copy. And they said, we have to bring it to the king, and they brought it to the king and said, hey, we count the money, and we found this book, kind of dusted it off. And they began to read from the Bible to the king of Judah. And his heart was smitten. And he realized that, and it says that in verse 2 that he did everything just like David, his ancestor, King David, had done. He did right. He didn't go to the left or to right. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But when he got a hold of the Bible, he realized that Israel and Judah were not living right, even though he himself, the testimony is that he did that which was right in God's eyes. They got a hold of the Bible and said, oh, we've blown it, we've sinned, because there were so many laws that were not being followed. So many, I don't want to use the word rituals, but so many rituals that went on in the temple that they weren't doing. And in Deuteronomy, let's say chapter 28, the blessings and the curses, they were ignorant. They were ignorant of God's commands because they didn't have a Bible, and they held church every day for 18 years. And it grieved the king. It says that he rent his clothes, a sign of humility and what have you, anguish in his soul. He realized that God was displeased with the people of God. And it says that he sent the churchmen, hey, y'all go to church and pray and seek God and figure out where we stand. I mean, it has all these blessings and curses, but ask God, pray, ask God, did he really mean it? Are we under a curse? And I didn't read it and won't today, but they went to Huldah the prophetess to ask God, because they were concerned about the wrath of God, because they were operating in absence of the scriptures. Verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that we just found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Again, the entrance of thy word giveth light. When you open the Bible or hear it preached or what have you, and really, you ought to open the Bible for yourself. I'm glad to be on this radio station. I'm glad in the churches that I've been privileged to preach at. I'm glad. But you need to read the Bible for yourself. A quick testimony. There was a woman that for decades, she would go to church. She would participate in the Bible studies. She would do all of this, even sang in the choir or whatever. but never really read the Bible for herself. And somebody said, hey, you know, you ought to read it for you, but it's about time you start reading it for yourself. And she got mad. But then she said, well, let me read, I guess, a little bit. And whatever the study they were going to study next week, she read the text. If it was Psalm 23 or whatever, she read it. And like, oh, wow, it says, man, look what it says. And God blew her away. She read the Word of God, and God spoke to her, and she had understanding. And then next week, she did the same thing, and the next week, she studied for herself, and it was obvious to everybody in the study that, hey, God did something in her life. It's one thing to be a Christian all those years. That's great. But you need to read the Bible for yourself. But they were concerned in our text about the wrath of God. God angry at his people because they were not reading and obeying and doing the Word of God. The wrath of God and impending judgment. And we talked from John chapter 16 that when the Holy Ghost was given in Acts chapter 2, Jesus is giving instructions about what would happen when the Spirit was poured out. In John 16 verse 8, it said, when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will reprove or convince or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because, hey, people live in sin, do things wrong, think things wrong, etc. Of righteousness, because, hey, Jesus is righteous. The Bible is righteous. There is a right way to walk. And of judgment, because the end is coming. And the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. And if you read the back of the book, the devil gets thrown in, and everybody that followed him gets thrown in to the lake of fire. This is our message to the world. This is our message, to preach Jesus Christ as the remedy for sin. He's the Savior of the world. He hung on the cross, bled, died to pay for our sins, our failures, our mistakes, the horrible things we've done and thought, what have you. But he did die for us. He did pay the penalty for our transgression. And then he rose again, went to heaven, and one day he's coming back. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the church, or at least it used to be. At least it used to be. But for 4 years, the message of the world and the left is, hey, we got to get rid of Trump. Hey, we got to get rid of Trump. Doesn't matter what he's done. You know, Trump could cure cancer. And the media would complain. And I'm not here to defend Trump. But their message is, we have to do wrong. Everybody's got to do wrong. Everybody's going to embrace evil. Today there's virtue signaling. You know, racism is not specified in the Bible as the most pressing issue of Jesus' day, or in the Old Testament days, or in our day. But pretty much, if you watch the news, that's it. That's the biggest thing. That's the one issue, racism. And coupled with that is, hey, we got to defund the police. Now, if you want to defund the police, you want to do this, fine, great. Knock yourself out. But that's not the message of the Bible. To defund the police means that Anarchy. Anybody can do whatever they want. Rape, kill, murder, doesn't matter. Because there's nobody to arrest us, right? Rebellion. That's the message. Black Lives Matter. The church shouldn't have anything to do with Black Lives Matter. And they shouldn't try to defend themselves. Well, say, all lives matter. It doesn't matter. The church should completely ignore that message. And again, the virtue signaling. Church after church after church after denomination after denomination after denomination are tripping over themselves, hurting themselves to be the first to say, hey, Black Lives Matter. We're all down with the struggle. You know it and I know it. But that's not the message of the Bible. It's the world's message. And if that's what you want, go ahead. But it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. And anyhow, Black Lives Matter is not really about blacks and not really about lives. It's a message of Marxism. And you're being duped. But again, so what? So what? It's not the church's message. And anyhow, today, racism is mostly contrived. Jim Crow is long gone. Long decades gone. But today we have microaggressions. Today we're supposed to get upset at all kind of nonsense. There's systemic racism, which is bunk. It's bunk. That the United States is a racist country, that's nonsense. We're the ones, us and England are the ones that got rid of slavery. And everywhere we could go around the world, we tried to convince other nations, hey, do away with slavery. But we're told all of these messages, that's what we're constantly bombarded with. And the devil is trying to get us off track. We should get back to the right message, which is Jesus saves, heals, delivers, baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ is one day soon coming again. And that you need to get your life right. You need to get your sins taken care of, because the end is soon, soon upon us. But again, today, morality is being redefined. You know, we couldn't criticize Obama because we were afraid of being called a racist. And you hear me, we won't be able to criticize Kamala Harris either, because to do so would be racist, which is nonsense. I don't care about anybody's skin color. I want to know what they do and what they think and how they're trying to destroy the country. Skin color has absolutely nothing to do with it. But that's what we're told. Last year, the big message was Me Too. And a lot of people were taken down. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Just like Josiah, hey, what does the Bible say? And is God upset with us? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet. That's the last half. The first half has to do with taking God's name in vain, honoring your father and mother, and what have you. That's the Bible's message. That should be the church's message. But we're constantly told that we have to drop our message on the ground and pick up the world's. The world's message cannot save. The world's message is going to destroy the United States of America if left unchecked. But the church's message will save the sinner. Jesus Christ can deliver the drug addict, set the captive free, turn someone's life around, put marriages back together. Jesus can heal the sick, etc., etc., etc. Let's get back to the Bible's message. Let's not be turned aside. Again, God's message, God's urgent message, God's message that is more important than the riots and the insurrection in 35 cities in the United States. God's message that is more important than racism or Me Too or climate change or any other political message we hear is that we have sinned before God and we need to repent ASAP because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in those books, according to their works. If you are a sinner, if you're a rapist, if you steal from your employer, if you cheat on your wife, all of those things are written down. And you'll be judged when you stand before God. And it says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I don't have time to explain that one verse, verse 14. But verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to get your life right because the end is coming. Hey, don't believe me? Forget about heaven. Look on your TV. Every night, this nation is being destroyed. You need to live right before God. You need to read the Bible for yourself. Find a church that believes it and preaches it and encourages you to live by it and attend faithfully. Make sure that your heart is right before God. Make sure that your sins are washed away. Repent of all the things that you've done that you know are wrong. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you to live right and get your nose in the book. Read the Bible. It'll change your life. Again, I don't care about Black Lives Matter. I don't care one way or the other. It's not my message. And again, to the church, to the denominations, leave that stuff alone. Quit trying to prove how holy you are in the eyes of the world. And worry about how holy you actually are in the eyes of God. Because God is the only audience that matters. Live for Him. Walk for Him. If you try and walk, you try and change your message so that the left, the agitators, the rioters, don't turn on you, church, pastor, denomination. You're a hypocrite. Live for God. Live for God. Live for God. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.